Has anyone sent out family Christmas cards yet? We got ours. Okay, we got one. We got ours in the mail yesterday, so we're hopefully we'll be sending those out this week if nothing crazy happens. But I found some. I think these are always hilarious to me. I found some that people have sent out, and I can really kind of relate to this one because I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and there are some times where Silent Night. Well, the only way that works with two little kids is you duct tape their mouths shut, right? How about this one? That was a Christmas card somebody sent out. I think that has a scene. That's a scene that played somewhere in our house when with Elijah, Evelyn trying to help Elijah. How about this one? Joy. Man, that really sums up this year, doesn't it? How about this one? This is excited, engaged, expecting, and Emily. Poor Emily. I was Emily, and I was in that situation in the past. But the message of these cards, what is the message of our card? I was thinking about these while I was working on the sermon for this passage this week. It's Hebrews 1:1-4. If you have you can look at it, it'll be on the screen. You can grab your phone if you want to look at your Bible app, or underneath a pew, you can grab a Bible. But it says this. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final times, in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And though God, the Son, and through the Son, He created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave Him is greater than their names. Do you hear the Christmas message in there? Maybe, maybe not. How about if I couple it with this one? Luke 1:30, it says, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God." Now listen, the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Do we hear the parallels in those two verses? God, for all of history, up until the time he had spoken to people through his prophets, through signs and through miracles. And then, like we talked about last week, then he spoke at the perfect time. He spoke to Mary. He spoke to Elizabeth. He spoke to the shepherds through the angels. And he spoke to the Magi, the wise men, through a star. As it was pointed out earlier, December 21st, it says you have to get there early, right when it gets dark, because it's going to disappear after a couple hours. But that Christmas star that Vicky was talking about is going to be forefront. Two perfectly aligned planets coming in to make this bright, amazing star. God spoke to people a couple thousand years ago through that star. And then he spoke to the rest of mankind through Jesus. Through Jesus. And what was the message God was speaking through Jesus? It was this. The miracle is that God would even talk to us in the first place. Us broken, wicked, messed up creation that think we don't have any need for Him. That God. And the fact that He has anything to say to us at all is a miracle. The fact that He would speak to us at all is a miracle. You understand that we killed the Son of God. You know that, right? It's a miracle that He would talk to us. It's a miracle He would communicate to us. But not only did He communicate to us, but He laid His life down for us so that we could be with Him for all of eternity. That is the message. That is the Christmas message. Do you hear it? It's a miracle. The proverbial Christmas card that God has sent to everyone of us is this miraculous message: for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus is the supreme Christmas card. That God came to us to dwell among us, that He came to make peace with the world. Colossians 1:15 through 20 tells us that Jesus is supreme. It says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. He, in the beginning, was supreme over all who rise from the dead, so He is first in everything. For God, in all His fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This is such great news, church. It's such great news. Such an incredible message. So this morning, I just have a couple things about the message of Jesus. Here they are. Number one, the message of Jesus is sustaining. Hebrews 1:3, our passage above, it says, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven." Pastor and author Ray Stedman wrote this about this verse, and in his writing he talked about There's something called a linear particle accelerator, and they have a bunch of them now, but in the beginning they only had a couple. One was at Stanford University. One was at University of Chicago. For some reason, when I was in eighth grade, I took a field trip to go see this thing, right? It wasn't very exciting. It was a big tube, right? And we looked at it, and we're like, does it do anything? And we're like, no. Not really. Cool. We just drove 3 hours. That's awesome, right? But here's what this thing does, right? It takes two atoms, it's a 2 mile trek, and it shoots them at each other at the speed of light, right? Pretty impressive, right? So what happens is they go around this 2 mile track, speed of light, boom, they collide into each other, and they see what happens. And what happens is, all those two, they smash into each other at the speed of light, and they shatter. And then they go and they figure out, they look at all the little pieces and see what it all means. And back then, they could see atoms and neutrons and electrons, right? And we're like, okay, that's cool. But then they've got better technology and better optics. And then they were like, oh, there's more than that. Those then break up into other things, and they call them quarks. And quarks was thought, well, okay, it's not the atom or the neutron or the electron. It's now these quarks are the smallest things in the universe. But now things have gotten better, and they realize, nope, there's more beyond that. And so what has happened is, so Ray Stedman wrote this thing, and so he said, what they found was this. One thing they are consistently discovering is that there is some strange force. Now listen to this. There is some strange force that holds everything together. They do not know what to call it. And they do not know how to identify it. They talk about a kind of cosmic glue that holds everything together. Isn't it fascinating that here in the Word of God, you have the exact kind of terminology used of Jesus? If you want a name for the force that holds the universe together, it is very simple. His name is Jesus. He sustains the universe by his powerful word. That is not only true of the physical universe, including our bodies and all that we are, but it is true of all other forces and powers in the universe, physical, psychological, social, spiritual, whatever. He is in charge of them all. Jesus. We can say it like this. Jesus holds the universe together. He is the one that is keeping the world from spinning off its axis. He is the one that holds the world together and from bursting at the seams. He is the one that keeps us all from certain doom. He is the great sustainer of the universe, the great sustainer of life, Jesus. Jesus sustains everything. That is the message of Jesus. The second thing is the message of Jesus is eternal. Hebrews 1:3, the second part. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Again, Paul says in Colossians 3:1, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Christ sits at the right hand of God, and he will continue to do that for all of eternity. The good news of Jesus, that's an eternal good news. Later in Hebrews, we are told, in Hebrews 7:24-25, but because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Because he does that, we can be with God. It's an eternal message. It's not like 5 years or 10 years or 100 years or 1,000 years. It is for all of eternity. We get to be with God forever. Just as Jesus is eternal for those of us that have received the message, we are also eternally with him. Listen to one of the most famous and well-known psalms, Psalm 23:6. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know why this psalm is such a comfort at times of sorrow? At times of loss? You guys all know this. This is the famous funeral psalm, right? God's word promises us that for those of us that are in Jesus, that his goodness and love will follow us and we get to live with him forever. John 3:36 says this, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Andrew Womack writes, "Everlasting life is a present tense possession. It's not something that begins when we get to heaven. If all you did was ask Jesus to forgive your sins so you wouldn't perish in hell, then you are missing out on eternal life. Sin was a barrier that stood between us and a holy God. It had to be removed." And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he did it well. Sin is no longer standing between God and man, but to what does that entitle us? Sure, it entitles us to live forever with God. That's wonderful. But there are tremendous benefits right here, right now, on earth. Eternal life is just one of those benefits. Eternal life starts today, while you are still alive, while you're not there yet. Jesus defined eternal life for us in this, John 17:3. Now this is eternal life. Ready? That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God, knowing that someday soon we will get to dwell in his house forever. That's eternal life. The third thing is that the message of Jesus is secure. John 10:27-28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch that away from me. And not only is the message of Jesus eternal, but no one can take it from us. Well, does that mean that once we are saved, we are always saved? Like, I can be saved at 18 or 16 or 14 or 10 or 7. And then I can live my life for the rest of my life however I want. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's like this. Thursday, this is the craziest thing. I don't understand why Amazon does this, but here's what they did. Earlier this week, I ordered a gift for my son. I'm not going to tell it what it is because maybe he's listening today. But we ordered this gift. It gets there, it's supposed to get there in 2 days on Thursday. And then on Wednesday night, the price dropped from $30 to $15, right? And it was $40 to $15, right? That's a big drop. So I get on with Amazon. I'm like, hey, this package is coming. It's going to be here tomorrow. But here's the deal. We ordered it Tuesday. Today you dropped the price by like 50%. Can you just adjust the price for me? And here's what they said. Nope, can't do that. I just ordered it 2 days ago. Can you just help me out here? They said, nope, can't do that. What you have to do is you have to send that one back, order a new one, and then we'll send you the new one, and you can have it that price. It's like, you do realize you're losing a lot of money in this, right? I was just like, this is crazy. And they're like, nope, that's what you got to do. That's policy. It's like, okay. So that night, I ordered the new one. And then Thursday, I was like, well, the UPS guy, I happened to be there when the UPS guy got there. He hops off the truck, brings my package up. I go, hey, can I just refuse that package? He goes, yeah, here, take it back. And I refused it. Now, Amazon, I don't know what you're doing with this. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But if that's the way you want to play, we'll play it, right? But here's the deal with that. Just like we can refuse an Amazon package, we can refuse the gift of Jesus. We really can. In fact, we do. There are many people who are not here this morning. And I don't mean because they're watching online or they got something. I mean, there are many, 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 many people that would rather spend their Sundays doing something different. sports or whatever, shopping, Christmas, whatever. And they have never, ever, ever received the gift of Jesus. And perhaps there were some people that we know that when they were young, they were on fire for the Lord, but now they don't know Him anymore. We can reject the gift. We don't have to accept it. And 30 or 40 or 50 years from now, whenever I pass from this life, my reward will be my reward. It's either going to be one that is good or one that is bad. But whenever I pass, our reward is our reward. And I want you to hear this. No one will ever be able to snatch it away from me. No one can steal eternity from me. It is a gift that I have accepted and received, and it cannot be stolen. It cannot be taken away. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. My eternity, my future is sealed because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. So it is with Jesus. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then again, and later in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, Jesus came to earth so that we might have peace with God, that we may have reconciliation and find forgiveness for sin and for the sin that separates us from Him. So finally, church, I ask, what does your Christmas card say? Is your Christmas card a funny Christmas card? That's okay. Is your Christmas card an awkward one or an inappropriate one? My question is, what message does your Christmas card give? What is inside? Maybe it's something funny or awkward or some sort of Christmas card fail. Maybe not. Maybe the message of your card is more noble. Maybe your Christmas card says the message is, well, family. Or the Christmas card message says true love. Or the Christmas card message says, I love my spouse. And those are noble. But that's not the message of Christmas. If nowhere on our card is the message, the most important message, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life, if that is not our main message, we are missing out. We are missing out on eternity.